everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Hey, how are you, Chris?
Happy weekend, Dr. Linda.
Well, people can't see what you're doing, Chris, because this is radio, but you have your eyes closed and you're being very quiet, except for that humming I just heard. What are you doing?
Self-care, Dr. Linda. Meditating, being mindful.
Okay, Mr. Producer, you have to take a picture of this because people need to see this. Chris, are you really going to do mindfulness at the beginning of our show?
You're right. Probably now's not the time for, for that.
You think?
Yeah. But I thought I would try to show a few of the strategies that we are going to discuss on today's program.
Well, I'm impressed that you're trying to apply what you learn on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. That's always good. But we're going to talk a little bit about that strategy. And we're going to talk about this from a Christian perspective, because the culture hears a lot about mindfulness and meditation. And most of the time, that's done from an Eastern perspective, sort of a Buddhist philosophy. But we're going to talk about this from a Christian mindfulness, which is very important. And actually, there's a rich tradition of this in the church, of contemplative prayer and being mindful. So we're going to talk about it, but we're not going to do it during the show. We're not going to demonstrate during the show.
Obviously, I was just joking, but like you said, this is one of the strategies of self-care. And you've heard the old saying, take care of yourself first, or you will have nothing left to give to others, or we can't give what we don't have. Well, today we're going to talk about those sayings and address the issue of self-care, the importance of taking care of our body, mind, and spirit.
So I like the fact that you added the spirit part of that, because we do hear a lot in our culture about body and mind, but I think less about the whole idea of how does the spiritual part of that fit in. Now, we all know that self-care is important. Somehow it just doesn't seem to translate into our everyday lives. Do you find that?
We're too busy
to do self-care. That's the point of the show. But we've been given a body by God, and we need to know how to steward that body for God's purposes in our lives. So that said, we seem to have a lot of problems when it comes to really doing this. Like you just said, busyness is one of those, Chris. But a lot of us drink too much. We eat a poor diet. We don't exercise. We don't get good sleep. We get easily distracted with things that really don't build our spiritual lives as well.
And really, it all takes a toll, and yet there's so much focus on self-care in our culture. I mean, there are apps, programs, and lots of help. So the question is, with all of this help around us, I would even say obsession, why aren't we doing better when it comes to taking care of ourselves?
You know, it really is kind of a buzzword in today's culture, isn't it, when you say self-care? People use that term, but it is centered around things like exercise classes, coffee breaks, buying yourself something. You know, how many times have you looked at Twitter and it says, I'm really taking care of myself. I bought myself something I really wanted. This is not quite the self-care we're going to talk about. This is more like self-love. I saw an episode on a popular TV drama, and it was all about someone else who was stressed in life. And the whole focus of this program, it's one of those medical shows, was you have to make a decision to buy yourself something. It's something that's really expensive. This is a way that you take care of yourself. And it was celebrated as this big act of self-care.
There's another buzzword called first world problems. You know, people have real issues on this planet.
But I know.
Here we are, we buy ourselves a new car to make ourselves feel better, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, to your point, the Instagram tag self-love comes up more than 27 million times.
Wow.
But compare this to the tag of love others, less than 500,000.
Yeah, so we're getting a little bit of the self-love and loving others a little bit mixed up. You know, it's a buzzword. The buzzword that I hear a lot is the word me time. Have you heard that?
Oh, I need me time.
I think one of the biggest obstacles in developing really a healthy perspective on this idea of self-care that we really want people to understand today is believing that self-care is all about being selfish and actually does create lots of me time. But as Christians and people of faith, sometimes we think that we have to neglect ourselves to be godly. It's sort of a self-sacrificing idea here, but there's a difference between being self-absorbed, having narcissistic behavior, versus really taking care of yourself in a good way that we're going to talk about. Being selfish means there's a desire, really, Chris, to take from other people, almost to their detriment, Whereas self-care is about replenishing your resources without depleting someone else's. So that's a big difference.
Right. And like you said, it doesn't mean you're selfish, but we often feel that way because we actually take time to replenish ourselves.
Yeah. And I think when we don't do that, we are kind of feeling a little bit guilty about, you know, I am spending time on myself.
Right.
Is that really a good idea? But I know sometimes we do have to slow down. We have to be a little bit more self-reflective because we're on the run so much and busy, like you said before. We do need to stop once in a while. And the word you just used, replenished, is a good one. And it's a way to think about self-care. You know, in 2000, Chris, there was a study that found that adults who were over the age of 65 who practiced self-care showed a whole lot of signs of improved health. And they decreased their Medicare spending. So there really was some benefit to really paying attention to how your body, mind, and spirit are functioning together. So self-care could definitely improve your health.
It isn't about buying a motorcycle, or in my case, a BMW 320i.
No, it's not.
To feel better about life, or buying a new pair of shoes, or going on an incredible vacation. We're talking about time to recharge.
Yeah, it's really that recharging. That's another good way to talk about it. When I think of selfishness, I think of behavior that is self-serving. And it's not geared towards a good purpose, but an attempt to get something from someone else. So we keep kind of making that distinction here about the difference between self-care, selfishness. I think that's important.
So if self-care is needed, why do so many of us feel guilty if we say no to someone once in a while?
You know, I think it's because we have an emphasis on service, which is really good. I mean, the church is really about serving other people, right? That was one of Jesus' central messages. But if we think about it, even Jesus regularly took time off to be alone. He had to pray. He was recharging, like we just said a few moments ago. His earthly body needed some time to replenish. We used that word before, too. He needed time to be with a father, and he needed time to center himself. And then he instructs us to love ourselves. It isn't the same type of self-love that the culture is talking about. It's loving ourselves so that we could love our neighbor as ourselves. So he's helping us to get a healthy view of take care of yourself, steward your body. But the purpose of that is so that you can go out and help other people and not neglect yourself in that process because you have work to do.
This is good because understanding that self-care isn't selfishness may go a long way to correct some of our ideas and put some balance in our lives. I know people who serve so fervently, they actually become a not nice person to be around because it almost turns into a bitterness because they are just so burned out.
Yeah, they're so depleted. Mm. And when we get depleted, I don't care who you are. If you don't have good sleep, if you're not taking care of yourself, eating well, you just get irritable, don't you?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I can ask. I used to ask with my kids, you need some food because you're getting irritable, right? Because
right.
They weren't stopping to do the very things that they needed to do. So if you spend all your time taking care of other people, you will get depleted. And that leaves you prone to illness as well. But if you balance your physical care along with focusing on your emotional, your mental, your spiritual well-being, you will be in a position to better serve other people. Again, I just want to say, we saw Jesus do this when he took time to eat, pray, and be by himself in intimacy with God.
You know, it's a good point. If you're in bed because you're sick and exhausted, you can't serve anyone.
That's right. That's right. So it goes back to stewardship. Are you taking care of your temple, or are you just crazy busy and you're allowing yourself to get run down? So if you're a young mom today or a middle-aged person taking care of an elderly parent, an older person who feels driven to do all the time, we just want to encourage you to spend some time on yourself, not in a selfish way, but to recharge in order to balance out your life and keep yourself rested and fit to do all that God has for you.
Right. Okay, so if we are convinced that self-care isn't selfish and that we need to do it, let's spend some time talking about how to do it. One of the problems is we can know that it's important, but we just don't do it. After the break, tips on how to keep our lives in balance.
Anger happens. It's part of being human, but it does not need to control or even ruin your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, with a quick prescription to help you break free from anger. Whether you are seriously out of control, hot-tempered, or just easily annoyed, why not try this biblical strategy to conquer those destructive reactions? A good place to begin is to admit you have an anger problem, and then begin the tough work of finding the root of your anger. The next step is to identify the triggers, you know, the cues that set you off. Your trigger might be other people or situations or even certain thoughts that pop into your mind. Next, calm down. It's like pressing pause on the moment. Take a breath. Count to five in Spanish or maybe some other language. Get your thinking brain back into control. And then finally, create a reaction plan. So in advance, think about ways to combat those familiar angry feelings. And then practice, practice, practice your plan. With God's help, you can break free from anger.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. Just go to her website, drlindamental.com, and follow her on social media. There are so many great blogs on her website, drlindamental.com. And you can sign up for her free e-newsletter. Don't forget you can subscribe to the podcasts on iTunes as well. If you miss a show, you can listen to us anytime on a podcast.
Isn't that great? They can take us with them wherever they go.
I mean, the bathtub, exercise bike.
Not the first place I thought of. I was thinking running, you know, as we're talking about right. self-care, running through the woods and listening to this program on self-care.
Good point. Good point. Well, as Dr. Linda said, we are talking about healthy self-care today. And I would think that one way we can begin this process is to develop friendships. As the song says, you got to have friends. And doesn't that go a long way towards self-care?
You know, it really does, Chris. People need people, as Barbra Streisand once sang, right? We could probably do a whole lot of songs. We could do an entire medley.
Yeah.
We should get you on the piano and do that again. People liked it when we did it before.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we could play friend songs.
I'll call my manager and make sure.
Yeah, you can make sure we can do that. Well, listen, Proverbs tells us that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we do need each other. Jesus could have ministered all on his own, but he chose 12 people, and he had an intimate circle of friends to do life together while he was on earth. That's the theme of our show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing life together. So listen to this verse from Hebrews 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So that verse is very direct about spending time together. Yet a trend in the church is to do church online whenever it's convenient for you. Some may think that, hey, this is self-care. I'm doing church. But you really don't build community that way.
We just had this conversation with one of our kids, and we were talking about this, and we were saying, you know, an online church is great. You can listen to a sermon anytime, but mm-hmm. it is not the same as that face-to-face contact in the community that you build when you go. And I think the same thing is true when it comes to building friendships around social media. And we know that a lot of people are into that. But liking a Facebook post or following someone isn't really building the type of support that we all really need, especially, Chris, when we come to difficult times in our life, when we really need people who we can talk to in real time, face to face. People on social media just can't quite give you that same, I think, effect that you can get when somebody's face to face with you.
You mean to tell me that you have to actually schedule time to be face-to-face with people?
Yeah, I think that's a novel idea
what?
In today's culture, right? Because it does take time, and it does take being with people to build a friendship. But boy, it's so worth it, especially when you hit a rough patch, like I was just saying, and you need others to pray for you, to encourage you. And then you turn around and you do the same thing for them. So building support in your life is one of our number one big self-care strategies. It's tied to so many measures of well-being when you look at the literature as well.
Dr. Linda, we've mentioned journaling before on the program, and that's another self-care strategy that works for lots of people.
Yeah, especially when you journal gratitude and times of answered prayer. Those are great journals to look back at, Chris, and just to rehearse the goodness of God. That's a great self-care strategy. And the research actually supports this strategy if you journal about 20 minutes a day as a method of self-care. And interestingly, in Psalm 77, verse 11, it supports this idea as doing it as a reflection of God's goodness to us. So what that psalm says is, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago.
Wow.
So what journaling does is it helps us remember. We're writing it down, we're concentrating, we're focusing on the goodness of God.
Would you say there's a difference between actually writing your journal or typing it?
I don't think it really matters. You know, when I type a lot of things, that is my form of writing now because I use my computer so often. So I think the idea is you're focusing your mind on the goodness of God.
Well, at the beginning of the program, I was sort of goofing off with the silence and meditation thing, but what about the importance of solitude and silence?
So they're hard for most of us to do. That's why you were kind of playing with it, because I'm wondering how many moments in your day you take time to do that.
Every day of
the week.
Would
that be zero?
Zero, right.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, when I first started trying to do this, I fell asleep. So I tried it a couple of times, and I just ended up falling asleep. I think that's because I finally relaxed.
Right.
But we're not so used to being quiet and to sitting still and just being with God. You know, these are traditional or classical spiritual disciplines that people did over and over and over for the years. This time of sitting down, being intimate with God, being silenced before God. And we know, again, from research that this prevents burnout, and it actually facilitates our spiritual growth. I would have us practice a few moments of silence just to get the feel of it right now, because it usually feels awkward when you first try it. But because we're on radio, you know, people might think we're off the air if we do that. So try it for a few moments in your day and see if you can pay attention to your breathing and slow your life and your mind down. Focus your mind on God. It's a way to center yourself when things seem to be very out of control or things are very hectic in your day. Think about this verse from Jeremiah 17:8. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I put Chris to sleep. Way to relax. Okay, wake up, Chris.
Oh,
enough
sorry.
Mindful meditation.
You are right. When you are on the go all the time, sitting quietly can lead to simply falling asleep. But sleep isn't all bad either as a self-care strategy.
That's right. We just don't encourage it while we're on the radio. Right? It's actually quite important, probably more important than people realize. It's so interesting to me how the Bible is so in concert with research. But here's one from Psalm 127 that says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." Research confirms that many of us are just not getting the recommended amount of sleep on a regular basis. So listen to this list of problems that come when you don't allow at least that 7 to 8 hours of sleep. That's what's recommended for adults. 10 for kids. But when you don't get sleep, here's what happens. You have a lack of alertness. You have impaired memory. You get relationship stress because you're more moody, and there's an increase in conflicts that they've shown that happens when people don't get enough sleep. The quality of life is compromised because you're less likely to exercise. You get an increased car accidents. Sleepiness and car accidents are tied together. And there's premature wrinkling over time and dark circles under your eyes. So that's a plastic surgery you don't have to have if you just get some sleep.
Do you think the lack of sleep has to do with our nonstop schedules and our pressured lives? I mean, we are thinking and worrying too much.
I think one reason people have sleep problems is that they're constantly worried. Their minds are constantly racing. They're not able to slow down, to relax, and to get that peace at the end of the day. But just listen to these verses on sleep and worry. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet.
You know, Job 11:19 says, "You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor."
And then in Psalm 4:8, it says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety."
And then Psalm 3:5 says, "I lie down to sleep, I wake again, because the Lord sustains me."
So there's a lot about sleep in the Bible. Resting your mind by placing your trust in God is a way to help you get that needed sleep every night. And there are times when I've had trouble falling asleep, and I'll just say the name of Jesus or think about one of those scriptures and just get my mind centered on that. So sleep is a self-care strategy. The body needs to reboot each night, and God created us with that sleep need so that we could do that and have a better physical as well as mental and emotional life.
You know, we found a blog entitled, "Does God Care About What You Eat?" And talking about self-care, is this something a person of faith should think about?
Well, you know, I'm going to say yes to that because
right.
I write all these books about eating and food and dieting and body image. But food matters, again, because we're told to eat well in all aspects. We're not supposed to be using a lot of drugs and eating poorly and eating to excess. And, you know, all of that can take a toll on a person's body. A comedian once joked that when you sit down to a meal of junk food and you ask God to bless the food, do you say, Lord, please alter the chemical composition of this junk food and transform it into vegetables? So we obviously need to check ourselves in terms of our physical care, whether that's good sexual health, exercise, or even eating well.
To that point, 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." So friends, silence, sleep, healthy eating, all part of self-care. But there's much more to discuss as we move into the spiritual part of self-care. More after the break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic is self-care, which should not be confused with selfishness. And we have more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find her blogs, books, and connect on social media. And an easy way to know what she is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Mental or on Facebook. And you can listen to the podcast anytime on iTunes. 24/7 access to Dr. Linda and, of course, me. What else would you want?
That's right. There's just not better than that.
That's right. But back to our topic, if we sum it all up, self-care mostly is about living a balanced life.
Yeah, and I think we even need to go beyond just the balance part of it. I know that's really important. It's good to achieve balance, but it's also about stewardship of the things that God has given us. And this obviously includes our physical, emotional relationships and our spiritual lives. But, Chris, it also involves the concept of sanctification. There are times when there might be suffering that may stretch us and knock us out of balance. I mean, definitely when we're going through a difficult time, we don't feel too balanced because we might be dealing with sickness or a loss or something that is really big in our life at that moment. And when those times happen, we need to trust in God's sovereignty, His provisions, His grace for us at that time, His sort of God care for us in the middle of a difficult season. So in some ways, self-care helps prepare us for those times.
See, I've been there before, and you know God is leading this situation. He's taking care of you. But you have to choose joy because it is hard.
Yeah. In the middle of something like that, I think about that verse in Psalm 118:24 that says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad." And, you know, there are days when I just get up and I'm dreading something or something has been very difficult in my life. And I just go, okay, I'm driving to work and I'm going, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I'm willing myself to rejoice." And the rejoicing isn't because of the terrible things that are happening or the difficulty of the day. It's because of God's presence and His promise to never leave us or forsake us, no matter what comes. So part of that is to stay positive about God's role in our life and not lose hope.
You know, Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." This is about focusing your mind on the positives, even on a Monday morning.
That's right. And, you know, people may not think about staying positive. They don't think that, oh, that's a self-care strategy. When it actually is, it's a strong one. And it's not just forcing yourself to think of positive things, but it's thinking positive because of the promises of God. His work in us, through us, and for us gives us reasons to stay positive when things don't look so good. So that's why we can choose to rejoice. God is always working on our behalf, and there's a promise for a better tomorrow with God.
We found this quote in a blog. It says, "The more you can get Him, God, in your head, the more you will feel Him in your heart." That means we have to spend time with God.
It does, and there are benefits that are so great when we do. Freedom from worry, we get peace, we get contentment, we rehearse the promises of eternity, we feel hope, we feel love. These are the essence of self-care as we understand how God cares for us.
What are some examples of how God works in those situations?
Well, you can take any passage of Scripture, but Romans 8 is one that's really familiar to people, and when you really study it, it just has so much in it that really encourages us. For example, Chris, suffering will be more than worth it. That's one of the verses in that chapter. Another take-home point in that chapter is the Spirit talks to God about how we are feeling. And another point is even the bad will work together for good. There's purpose in suffering. And then there's a point in that chapter that says nothing, no suffering, no problems can separate us from God's love. So this type of study gives us perspective. It's helpful. It encourages us. And that's all a part of our self-care. It's really stress management from a biblical perspective.
Scripture provides us with a holistic perspective on life, with God as the center and influencing everything that we do.
A former colleague of mine at Wheaton, who is now at George Fox University, Dr. Mark McMinn, he writes this: an accurate sense of self allows us to recognize our responsibility to God, to others, and to ourselves. Having a healthy awareness of brokenness keeps us humble and helps us fight our natural propensity towards self-centeredness. This is how we keep our idea of self-care from becoming selfishness. I think his quote right there is a good way to think about that. And then, Chris, another friend of mine, Dr. Tan, is a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, has written extensively on self-care. And he says, as children of God and members of the body of Christ, we give to and receive from God and others. Reciprocal caring goes beyond self-care to what one may recognize as we care or community care. So beyond self-care or beyond our abilities to care for ourselves is God's desire to care for us through friendship with Christ and through friendship with others in Christian community. Beyond self-care is God care for us. And as Dr. Tan says, we care or community care in the body of Christ for one another. We're healing relationships, role models, accountability, bearing one another's burdens, and other maturing aspects of spiritual formation promote health, growth, and resiliency. So it's beautifully said by both of those people, and I'd encourage you to look at Dr. Tan's writing on this because it's just so well done. So as we close our show for this weekend, be assured, self-care is not selfish. It is necessary. It's a part of being fit in your mind, your body, and your spirit so that you can do all God has for you to do. If self-care has been a challenge, just begin today with one of the many suggestions we have offered and see where it takes you. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.